God is good, and all the time. Well, praise God. Welcome to First Church. A lot of young kids in the service this morning. It's kind of a rarity for 8 o'clock, so maybe we're finally breaking that barrier.
Except for the front row.
Yeah, the front row thing, I mean, well, some things are just impossible, so we'll, but, yeah. But maybe Jesus was a spitter, and they were just afraid that. Of course, if Jesus spat on you, that probably wouldn't be all bad. Anyways, if you would, well, first of all, welcome. If you would, take your bulletin and flip that open. We have a lot of different announcements there on the inside cover. Be sure to look at that. Lunch Bunch will be July 31st, so not this weekend, but next weekend, right? And also, we have a new worship time change that's going to begin on September 11th. So remember that, September 11th. And also, at the very bottom, you see something about a community blood drive. The youth group, Ignite Youth Group, is sponsoring that blood drive. So that is taking place this week, this Tuesday, from 10 to 3:30 in the fellowship hall downstairs. You've probably seen a lot of flyers around that might say Warsaw High School at the top. It's not at the high school. It's here, okay? So if you hear anyone talk about that, gently correct them in that thinking. Also, we have our notes that Cliff puts out, Cliff's notes, that are great tools throughout the week as you are trying to take what I've said, take what Eric has said from that Sunday, and just continue that theme through the week. Excellent resource. And also, if you would remember to tear out the connection card, fill that out, and drop that into the offering plate whenever that comes around. Eric, do you have anything else? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for just the sunshine and, yes, Lord, even the heat, that because we know that you, as you're bringing this heat, God, you will cool us down, and we will be grateful for that, Lord. And help us just tune into you today. God, help us to slow down and just stop everything else that's going on so that we can focus on what you have for us, God, that we just give you praise that your bread for us is new every single day, that you breathe life into us every single day, God. And so, Lord, just as you just pour out your grace and joy on us, help us to just tune into you. And we say this in your name, amen. And at this time, if you would, grab your hymnals and turn to 733. And if you would stand when you get those. Hymn number 733. At this time, I'd like to invite all the kids to come on up to the altar as we have our kids' corner with Ginger. So, kids, come on up.
morning. How are you guys this morning? Well, I will tell you something. I'm not doing so good. I have a problem this morning, and I need you guys to help me with it, okay? I had something happen last week that really upset me, and I need to solve a mystery that happened to me. So I'm going to tell you the story, and I want you to be very quiet and not offer anything until the very end of the story, and then I'm going to ask you something, okay? Okay, now, this is what happened. This spring, I planted a garden, and I put a watermelon plant in it. And it started growing and growing, and I seen a little bitty watermelon. I was really excited, and it kept growing, and it kept growing, and I thought, I'm going to have a big old fat watermelon to eat one of these days, because I love watermelon, okay? One day, it kept getting bigger and bigger, and finally, Thursday morning, I went out there, and this watermelon was huge, and I thought, okay, I'm going to water it good today, and in the morning, I'm going to come out, I'm going to pick that watermelon, and I'm going to eat it. So the next morning, Friday morning, I got up early, run out to my garden, got to the watermelon patch, and the watermelon was gone. Somebody had picked my watermelon, and I was very upset about it. So I decided that I was going to do some investigating to see who took my watermelon. I looked around, and I found this laying in the garden. A fisherman's cap. And I thought, whoever was wearing this cap is evidence. It's evidence that that person is the one that took my watermelon. Now, evidence simply means signs, okay? So I thought, I'm going to keep looking. And I looked down, and there was muddy shoe prints, a lot bigger than mine, in the garden. So I followed them. And they followed. They walked right up my front porch, right into my front door, right through my front room, right into the kitchen. And I found some more evidence on the table. Empty. Somebody had eaten my watermelon right at my kitchen table. Now, more evidence. Okay, there was something else there. A glass. It had fingerprints on it, and they were big old fingerprints, not mine. More evidence. Whoever took my watermelon used this glass. So I looked down on the floor, and there those footprints went, clear to the back door, and I followed them. This is what I found. Muddy boots. Mud from my garden. So now, I had all kinds of evidence. I had a fisherman's cap. I had the footprints. I had the empty watermelon, just the rind. I had the glass with the fingerprints, and I had the muddy boots. Now I want to ask you guys, who do you think took my watermelon? My husband, that Jim Bartlett, took my watermelon. I'll deal with him later, guys. Okay. We figured it out, didn't we? All the evidence led up to my husband, Jim Bartlett, taking that watermelon. You guys are good. Now, I got to thinking about this. It's kind of neat because as Christians, we leave evidence around us every day of whether or not we're following Jesus. The Bible says to be imitators of Jesus. That means simply act like Jesus. So whatever you do, you're leaving evidence, just like Mom and Dad and me and everybody else. So from now on, when something happens, I want you guys to think, what would Jesus do? Because you want to leave evidence that you're Christians, okay? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this wonderful day. Thank you that you show us and tell us how to imitate you and to be like you, and we can leave evidence throughout our daily life how much we love you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
We are marching to Zion, and that path has led you through Warsaw. So make Warsaw Zion on your way. In way of joys and concerns, a few joys that we have. The scouts have made it home from 10 days of camping out in the heat with no incidents. So we give God praise for that. It's just as hot as it was. And I'd heard reports that some of the other boys from other troops were getting sick and just brutal heat. So we just give God praise for that. And also Paul Dirks is leading a mission trip in Detroit, Michigan. So be with him as he's doing that. And also Jamie and Laura are traveling back. They dropped them off, and now they're traveling back. And I think they've got a few hours of sleep and probably got some gas station coffee in them or something and sunflower seeds. You know, those are the tools you need when you're on the road. So they probably got that going on. So just pray for them as they're coming back as well. And also, if you would, look at the back of your bulletin. We have, just remember these folks in your prayers, some who are homesick, some are shut in, some recovering from surgery. Also those in nursing homes, assisted living homes, and always continue to keep those in prayer, the members of our armed forces, and as well as just our government and a lot of the tasks that they have before them. Whatever side you fall on, you know, certain things need to get worked out. So just continue to pray for your leaders, those in authority over you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we lay these things at your feet. God, all these concerns, all these lives that are looking for a touch from you. God, we just give you praise for all the things that they are doing, and God, that even in whatever state they find themselves in, God, that they can look to you and that they can see your master plan in all of these things. God, we pray for our leaders. We pray for those who are in authority over us. God, we pray that you give them direction, that you give them wisdom, that you guide their hands, and that you guide the direction that you would have them go. And we lift up all these things. We lift up all these names in your name, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you would, take your Bibles out and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A letter written by Paul. And once you have that, once you have Philippians 4, if you would hold your place and please stand with me. Okay. Lift your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you, Justin.
An older dog saw a puppy chasing its tail and asked, "Why are you chasing your tail so?" The puppy said, "I have mastered the philosophy. I have solved the problems of the universe, which no dog before me has rightly solved. I have learned that the best thing for a dog is joy, and that joy is my tail. Therefore, I am chasing it, and when I catch it, I shall have joy." The old dog thought for a moment and then said, "My son, I too have paid attention to the problems of the universe. In my weak way, and I have formed some opinions. I too have judged that joy is a fine thing for a dog, and that joy is in my tail. But I have noticed that when I chase after it, it keeps running away from me. But when I am going about my business, it comes after me." This morning, we are in search of joy. Does anyone have any idea where we can begin? How do you get joy? What are some things that give you joy as you're thinking? Are some people just naturally not joy-filled? What is joy? Is joy a state of mind? Do we need to be happy with who we are before we find joy? Is joy a matter of having things? Is joy knowing that you'll live for eternity with God? Is joy being open to God's creation, listening to birds singing, seeing the sun rise or set, watching squirrels play? Is joy seeing others succeed or reach their goals and dreams? I don't know. What is joy? Webster's dictionary states that joy is great happiness, a delight, a source of happiness. I didn't realize that was going to do that. Every one of these is going to have that same flash on there, and I'm sorry if that bugs you. Well, I wasn't really satisfied with Webster's definition, so I went on a search for joy, and I posted a question on Facebook. And I talked to some folks as well, asking them what they understood joy to be, what gives them joy. And these are some of the things that were mentioned: my kids, my grandkids, my mom smiling, honoring others, another beautiful day with our loved ones, seeing God in everything. Several people mentioned simplicity, contentment, satisfaction, peace, honoring God and living as God commands me to live, doing something exceptionally good or satisfying, knowing that God is in control even if things don't turn out the way you planned. The idea of knowing that you are saved, so whatever happens to this body, you know and have assurance or confidence in where you're going. Those are some great thoughts, aren't they? They really helped form this message today. You know, I believe Jamie, for instance, my wife, if you don't know, I believe Jamie is a radiant Christian. I have seen her during worship, caught up in the glories of worship and saturated with God's presence until her face, in my opinion, is just almost glowing with happiness. I've seen tears of delight stand in her eyes as she sings praises to God. I know at those wonderful times she felt like a true child of God and had joy. But, there's always a but to the statement, isn't there? There have been many times on Monday mornings when the laundry is piled high, the toast is charred, the boys were all sick. At the same time, I'm asking her to find a clean shirt for me to wear, and the telephone is ringing as well. Now, had you asked her in those particular moments if she felt like a child of God and if she felt joy, I wonder what answer you might have gotten. But you know what? I believe she is a person that has joy. Have you noticed that many people seem to think Christian joy means that somehow you have been given the power to live aloof from the raw, hurtful things of the world? Have you ever noticed that? And many times it is lived out in the, when bad things do happen to us. You know, I've lived a good life. I'm a Christian. Why is this happening to me? That's the type of questions that it comes out in. Following Jesus does not mean that you have to pretend to be something you're not. You do not have to put on a big bluff to the world and a scornful disdain of arrows that fly by day. You're not fooling God, and quite honestly, you're not fooling most people that you talk to and say everything is just fine. People won't believe you, and neither will God. So, you know, as we think about joy and realizing that all of us have bad moments, by bad, I mean just things not going our way. You hear what I'm saying this morning? And all of us have great moments when it seems like we sneeze and everything goes our way, right? But in trying to figure out what Christian joy is, I know one thing that joy is not. Joy is not an absence of trouble or hardship. Can we all agree on that point this morning? You know, I believe that Jesus had joy. If for no other reason, look at the effect that Jesus had on the people around him. Jesus gave others joy. But did he escape the hardships? Did he escape the troubles of his life? No, think about it. They wanted to cut off his head before he was 2 years old to begin with. They hunted him through the hills of Galilee most of his life. They captured him at last because of the greed of one of his friends. They spit on him, they kicked him, they bruised him, and dragged him off to a hill where they gouged his hands with nails until the flesh broke and they could hang him on the cross. Laughing, folks. Now think about this. Laughing, they danced around him and they chanted songs of hate. He was despised, he was rejected, until finally, from the awfulness of his rejection came his horrible cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have we ever felt like God has forsaken us? In thinking about Jesus' life and how his life ended, what makes us think we can take the religion of that man and use it to make our life trouble-free, blissful, a state of supreme emotional ecstasy, right? You know, it's amazing. The youth, you know, were just out. They never got to go to Pikes Peak, but they were just out in Colorado Springs. Anyone here ever been to Pikes Peak? What's the vegetation like on top? Yeah, it's like a sponge or a algae or something that grows on the ground, right? And if there are trees, are they like 50-foot trees? No, they're like 4-foot trees, and they're like 300 years old, aren't they? Yeah. Not much life takes place on a mountain of ecstasy, does it? And I'm not talking about the drug. Whether it's spiritual ecstasy or whatever it is, not much life, not much living, not much of anything takes place in that position. But, you know, now that I think about it, when you're on top of Pikes Peak, what do you look at? You look down, and what is down there around the mountain? What does it look like? It's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? It's green, right? It's green, and you realize standing up there in this lifeless place, and if you get high enough, there's not even vegetation at all. It's just rock. You stand in this lifeless place, and you look down on life, and you know sometimes you can put it together and think, wow, that's where all my troubles take place, but look how beautiful that is. You see, when we put it this way, Christian joy without trouble and hardship really doesn't make sense. If there's such a thing as Christian joy, it just cannot be divorced from Jesus Christ. And a life free from hardship and trouble doesn't add up to the kind of earthly life that Jesus lived. Yet reflecting on the effect Jesus had on others, he must have had more joy than anyone ever had. So let's see our scripture, what our scripture tells us this morning. If you still have your Bibles, if you want to open it up to Philippians chapter 4, let's see what it says, what the Apostle Paul says regarding joy. Now I'm going to expand on the scripture a little bit, letting you see some other meanings of the Greek terms that Paul used. Does that make sense? You know, Greek words and Hebrew words, for that matter, I explain them as if, like, you know how diamonds have facets, faces on them, and that's what makes them glitter, right? So if you think of a Greek or a Hebrew word as being the diamond, there are many English words that describe that. Does that kind of make sense to everybody? So as we read through this, there is more than one English word that will describe a significant Greek term. So if we look at this, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice, it means delight, gladden yourselves in Him. Again, Paul says, I will say, rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness. Now, gentleness is a unique term. It means unselfishness, considerateness, forbearing spirit. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near, i.e., He is coming soon. Verse 6, don't worry, and worry means fret or have any anxiety. So don't worry about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance, by prayer and supplication. And supplication is petition, by definite requests. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now this was so different, I had to put it on a couple different screens. And so when we expand verse 7, so let me read verse 7 again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's very important that you understand the context Paul was writing in while writing these beautiful words. Paul was in prison, probably in Rome, with a capital charge hanging over his head. I'm not laughing about the words, I'm laughing about that flashing thing up there. Sorry. He was in prison, probably in Rome, with a capital charge hanging over his head, and he's writing to people who had very little materially. If we work backwards in through these verses, what can we learn from this particular scripture? So if we think about the expanding verse again, God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, joy is directly related to peace, God's peace. Again, this isn't a state without war or a state without hardship, but a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. Contentment, a peace without earthly logic, a quiet confidence in God, a knowing that our hearts and minds are guarded in Christ Jesus, knowing God has an awesome plan for your life. It's really the joy within, but we are to rejoice in the Lord. Joy and peace come from God. Second, we learn that anxiety and worry are enemies of joy and peace. It's not that Paul didn't worry. Paul worried about his churches. He said that often in his letters. So obviously there is appropriate and inappropriate worry. Maybe a better way of putting it is to be alert but not anxious. To be alert but not anxious. It reminds me of the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. Right? Try to think ahead and be prepared for the various things that may take place. Be alert, but not anxious. In everything, use prayer as a source of strength, as well as a way to express thanksgiving and petition to God. You see, so many times in our prayers, our anxiety about the future obscures the benefits that God has already bestowed upon us. Have you ever thought about that? Our anxiety about the future so many times obscures the benefits that God has already showered upon us. Some of you might be saying, but Eric, this sounds awfully private to me. Even your sermon title, The Joy Within, is a very private and personal thing. Well, I think you would agree, joy can be a private thing, can't it? But as we have worked backwards, we haven't gotten to verse 5 yet. Let's go back and see what verse 5 says. Let your gentleness, and remember pulling some other words out for that Greek word of gentleness, unselfishness, considerateness, forbearing spirit, be known to everyone. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. So, you know, as often is the case, as we work on our way down through here, as is often the case, the Greek term translated gentleness is much richer than simply being what we think of as gentle. Okay? Gentleness is unselfish, considerateness, compassionate, and having a forbearing spirit. So if you have a paper and pencil and want to write that down, gentleness is unselfishness. It's considerateness. It's being compassionate and having a forbearing spirit. I said unselfishness, didn't I? Okay. In my mind, all I heard was selfishness, and I thought, wait a minute, I don't want to leave that with you. Yeah, gentleness is unselfishness, considerateness, compassionate, and having a forbearing spirit. Now, if we expand forbearing spirit, guess what that means? It means that we are patient, long-suffering, forgiving, tolerant, lenient, and merciful, and that's just to name a few of those words. So having a forbearing spirit, which is being gentle, right, means that we are patient, we are long-suffering, we are forgiving and tolerant and lenient and merciful. So when we think about these things and we try to put it together in a sentence, we find that generosity toward others is what being joy-filled is. Generosity toward others, and that generosity, that term that denotes generosity, is a characteristic of Jesus himself. Therefore, Paul is not thinking of something that is merely an emotional experience. So in other words, when I use Jamie as an example, those days on Sunday morning when she is worshiping and she's joy-filled, and then that other time whenever, you know, the laundry was piling high and everybody was kind of asking her at the same time with the phone ringing, you know, obviously from that perspective, we wouldn't call her joy-filled at that moment, right? But the joy that we're talking about today is it is something that is a constant in your life. It is a characteristic of who you are. And Paul is not thinking of something that is just an emotional experience or that is in any sense transient, but Paul seems to be talking about the deep and lasting joy that comes through a deepening relationship with Jesus. The deep and lasting joy that comes through a deepening relationship with Jesus. This joy is expressed in sharing our love and our concern for others. And as a matter of fact, I have learned that sometimes I lose that, but whenever I share with others, whenever I am compassionate, whenever I help others, guess what I find? My joy. If many Christians today lack such joy, could it be because we see our faith to a great extent as an individual matter? And so we don't see Christian life in terms of mutual respect and concern, or we don't experience the love and support of our Christian family. Can we truly experience the joy of the gospel without truly living it? You hear what I'm saying? Can we truly experience the joy of the gospel without truly living the gospel? And I hope you understand what I mean by the gospel this morning. What was it? The deep and lasting joy that comes through a deepening relationship with Jesus. This joy is expressed in sharing our love and concern for others. It is definitely not, although joy can be a personal thing, the joy we're talking about this morning and the way to live a life of the gospel is not a personal thing. But it is how we share that life with others. Patch Adams is a movie based on a true story about Hunter Patch Adams. I've talked about this movie before. It is probably one of my all-time favorite movies. All right? If you have kids, you want to watch it first if you haven't, because there are some inappropriate things in there. But like my boys have watched it, and there's just one section that we won't let them see. Patch is a medical student who believes that laughter is the best medicine for healing those who are sick. He used listening and compassion and humor to help patients find joy. His famous line is this: you treat a disease, you win or you lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you'll win no matter what the outcome. Patch healed the patient's souls with laughter and joy through listening, through compassion and humor. And in mending their souls, he made the person whole, whether they were healed of the disease or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, this is one of my passions for First Church. We want First Church to be a place where people find joy, where we meet at the crossroads of our life. Amen? And with Jesus, through listening and through compassion and through humor, we find healing and wholeness. How many times, if you've worshipped here very much, how many times have you heard me talk about healing and wholeness? We find joy when we work in this manner together. That deep and that lasting joy, because together, folks, truly, we can make a difference. So, what is joy? Joy is peace, and that peace comes from God. Anxiety and worry are enemies of joy and peace. Christian joy is not just an emotional experience, but it is a deep and lasting joy that comes through a deepening relationship with Jesus. This joy is expressed in sharing generously our love and concern for others. To expand on the old dog's comment in my opening illustration, I found that when I go about my business of having compassion for others and helping others, joy comes after me. May we be a people that joy comes after. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks that this joy you offer us is attainable in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that peace that we can find only in you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that in this church, that you anoint us in such a way that people, all people, can find joy. That all people can find healing and wholeness in this place. That all people in this place can find other people who can walk the road with them. We love you, God, and that's why we're here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are able, would you please stand with me? Let us sing together, For the Beauty of the Earth, number 92. Now we're going to do stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 6. 1, 3, 4, and 6. Please stand. Something that if you've known me very long know that brings me joy is when we are given the opportunity to baptize, whether it's young or old. It is an amazing experience, and I ask that you join me now as we look to baptize Mason Bradley Miller. Come on down, guys. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. This is a moment in the Christian community when we recognize and celebrate the grace of God living in each of us. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Baptism is a belonging of God claiming us as His own. It is a beginning of a lifelong journey through the reaffirmation of our faith. We renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? If so, please say, I do. And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing?
Weston and Shanda, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Do you desire to have this child baptized into this particular church community, as well as the faith and family of the entire body of Christ? Acknowledging his need for nurture in a Christian community of caring and concerned people, do you promise to allow this church community to love and care for him by bringing him into the life of the Christian community, to worship, to teach him the story of our faith, to guide him as he is called into response to the gospel, and to encourage him to be in relationship with other believers as he grows in his faith of God? All of you, their immediate family and friends, do you, those who are Mason's immediate family and friends, promise to help and support Weston and Shanda in their duty as Christian parents and give your time, your protection, your guidance, and your love, providing Mason with further opportunities to explore his growing relationship with God? If so, please say we do.
At this time, I'd like to ask our church community to please stand together. To those who have a spiritual heritage with Mason, this local church community, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Also, recognizing that there are many persons who touch the lives of children beyond their parents, and recognizing that in many ways the church community has as much influence as parents and immediate family, do you, First Church community, promise to help and support Weston and Shanda in their parenting and give your time, your protection, your guidance, and your love, providing him with continuing opportunities to explore his growing relationship with God?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Mason with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his trust in God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. And we do promise to support him through our time, our protection, our guidance, and our love. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. God, our Creator, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. as we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Jesus Christ in common faith and purpose. By what name is this child called?
Mason Brett.
Hey, buddy. Mason Bradley. You look like a Mason Bradley. Yes, you do. Mason Bradley Miller, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mason, the Holy Spirit work within you so that as you grow in your faith with the help of your parents and your family and this church, may you truly experience God's grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This child is now received into the love and care of the church. See what love God has given us, that we should be called children of God, and we are.
Let me take a walk. You mind?
Let me send a diaper with you.
Sure. Welcome your newest member into the body of Christ. That's for you, buddy. Yeah. He's beautiful in spite of his dad. Yeah. Sorry, Weston, I got one on you there. Here you go. Whoever wants Mason. Do you want? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Let us pray. Savior, giver, and keeper of all life, once again you have taken the substance of earth in your hands. You have fashioned it in your likeness and given it the breath of life. We give you thanks for the birth and the life of Mason Bradley Miller. As we celebrate his baptism, we marvel at the spiritual journey that he will take with you, Lord. A journey filled with faith in the midst of mystery, hope in the midst of life's challenges, and love calling him to serve. Guide him as he grows in faith. Let your peaceful assurance rest upon his family. Gently remind him of your strong presence and sure guidance, Lord. Help this church community be a good and Christ-like influence in his life so that he may come to know you personally and trust you completely, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you guys be willing to join us at the door? Okay. Bye, Mason. Danielle. I forgot to give that to them.
Amen. Wouldn't it be great if we had a baptism every single service?
That'd be awesome. Brother.
Yeah. Can't have too many of those. Well, at this time, I'd like to invite our ushers to come up as we give our tithes and our offerings.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Father in heaven, we give thanks to you. God, we honor you. We acknowledge you in our lives. God, help us to see everything that you're doing in our lives. God, help us to look deeper at the things that are going on, God, and how you are working things together for our good. God, may we put you at the center of our lives. May we put you as the source of our joy. May all good things and all living things come from you, God. And Lord, we also lift up Mason to you. God, help this church, help Weston and Shanda, help their family, God, do all they can to raise him in the ways of the Lord so that he would go and know you and love you with all of his heart. And God, we lift these things up to you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here and worshiping with us this morning. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence. And boy, I tell you, I have to admit, how can you not help but feel God's presence after a baptism like that? So my prayer also is that you will go about showing compassion and grace and service to others. And in doing that, joy will come after you. Go from this place knowing that you are a... And you are absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, never alone.